Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Hi and welcome to Kosher Cravings. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's Wife. Some like to call me Boba Shah. And you're listening to 101.9 Chai FM, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we have a nice show lined up, a few interviews from overseas. But a question I need to ask you. Are you a nasher? Are you a nasher or a nosher, some people call it? Are you a 3-meal-a-day person? Or I only eat when I'm hungry, which I wish I was. But a nosher, what does that actually mean to us? Okay, and it's derived from the Yiddish word nosh. It's a term for someone who constantly snacks or eats small amounts of food throughout the day. Then, of course, there's the nosher, a very popular online Jewish food and recipe blog run as part of, under the umbrella of, My Jewish Learning. It's an excellent resource for finding and reviewing and learning about traditional and modern Jewish recipes. I must say, if there's one site on social media that I love, it has to be nosher. I'm sure, mind you, I'm not the only one giving this a thumbs up, because they're from the amount of followers that they have. I'm not surprised. I mean, it must go into the millions. I'm not surprised they're as popular as they are. So it's time. Time for a vitamin B shot. Babka, boerewors, and brisket. And I must add, there's actually a vegan brisket recipe on the site too. Vegan chopped liver, which I know a lot of us know about, but both of which I will be sharing with you a little later. Joining me today will be Rebecca Phillips of the Nosher website.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
This is Rebecca Phillips of Nosher, and she's joining me today to chat about the when, the who's, the hows of Nosher.
It's great to be here.
That's a broad question. Do you want to start answering?
Sure. So the Nosher is the food brand of 70 Faces Media. 70 Faces Media is an American nonprofit media organization devoted to connecting and informing and educating as many Jews around the world as possible through our 6 different brands. We publish 6 publications, including My Jewish Learning, the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, Hey Alma, Kveller, the New York Jewish Week, and of course, the Nosher. So the Nosher is our publication completely focused on Jewish food. It was founded in about 2013 as kind of an outgrowth of My Jewish Learning. We found that on My Jewish Learning, it was a kind of an online home base for people looking to learn as much as possible about Judaism and Jewish life. And of course, core to Jewish life is Jewish food. So there was so much interest in Jewish food in particular that we said, okay, you know what, Jewish food needs its own site. It needs its own brand. So the food editor at the time, Shannon Sarna, launched the Nosher. And ever since then, so it's been around for 13 years now. And ever since then, it's been an amazing database of Jewish recipes, Jewish food news. Anyone who loves Jewish food can find something that they're going to love on the Nosher. And we really look at... Okay.
Carry on. Sorry, I interrupted.
No worries. I was just going to add that we really look at the Nosher as a place for people who love Jewish food. It's not just cooks. It's not just people who, are trying to be a professional chef. It's not people who only cook for Jewish holidays. It's whatever kind of Jewish food you happen to love, you will find something that you love on the Nosher.
And how? With over 90 recipes for challahs, I'm sure we'll find a recipe somewhere.
Yes.
What I love about the site is I love the stories written with each recipe. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just brings them to life, makes them so alive. Yeah. And you know that those stories, they're fascinating. I mean, you go into the history of them, and which actually brings me to the question of do you accept recipes from people all over the world? How does this work?
Yeah, that's a great question. We do accept recipe contributions from anyone, anywhere, as long as, you know, they have some kind of Jewish element, Jewish history, connection to a classic Jewish recipe. One thing that the Nasher really specializes in is adding kind of a modern or unusual twist to a classic Jewish recipe. So Even if you look at our homepage right now, you'll see malawach deli roll croissants. So it's not just a recipe for malawach, which is a Yemenite bread, yes. but we're adding a little deli flair to it. One of our most popular recipes ever is for matzah mac and cheese.
Yeah, so I was amazed to see that.
Yes. A way to make macaroni and cheese over Passover. So, you know, the recipes tend to be things that you wouldn't necessarily think of on your own, but really kind of enable you to celebrate a Jewish holiday or make Jewish food in a new way.
Yes, I mean, Calcutta style chicken with almonds and raisins. Mm-hmm. And I mean, okay, brisket, we all know. And I'm amazed to find a brisket, vegetarian brisket recipe, which I will share with the listeners later. But masa tigernitas, a Sephardic matzah brei, it's where baklava meets matzah brei in this delicious Greek dish for Pesach. I mean, these are incredible, all these beautiful recipes.
Yes, yes. And I think that's one really important thing about the Nasher is that it's not just Ashkenazi recipes, it's recipes from Jewish communities all around the world.
Yes, and no matter what's going on in the world, we have always sought comfort in the kitchen, turning to dishes passed down generation after generation with twists which are amazing and which your recipe book, website covers. And is the Nasher part of the Nasher app that you can scan, or you're not part of that?
Yeah.
That's more for you scan a product and then it tells you exactly what's in it.
We're not part of that.
No. All right. And one other thing is, if people want to submit a recipe, which I encourage everybody out there, submit your recipes. South Africa has got such amazing recipes to share. And if we have to share them, who do we contact? Who do we write to? Will we just send it to info@thenasher.com?
Yes, info@thenasher.com is the best place to send it. We would love to see some South African recipes.
Yeah.
And just so your listeners know, every so often we publish a cookbook, a community cookbook. So we have published a Nasher High Holidays community cookbook, a Nasher Passover community cookbook, and those are filled with contributions from our readers from around the world, contributing, you know, their favorite recipes from growing up or from what they're making for their families. So be on the lookout for the next one of those as well.
And where are they available on Amazon?
They're available on the Nasher website.
Oh, okay. Now, I need to. In fact, I was really so excited to see that you have Israeli style schnitzel, okay, which is my favorite way of frying schnitzel. And you have teiglach as well. And you know, when I saw this recipe for teiglach, what crossed my mind, I will never forget making teiglach, beautifully round, perfect teiglach, just sink your teeth into, literally, because as my mother-in-law bit into her teiglach, so her false teeth came off with the teiglach. She said, I can't eat with gums. So when I saw this recipe for teiglach, I thought, I wish you were still around, because these are beautifully cut teiglach, yours. And that's a lovely recipe. But you use honey, we use syrup here.
Interesting.
Yeah, you could change it, I suppose, syrup.
Sure.
Honey.
So. Yeah, I mean, that's another really nice thing about the Nasher is that there are a lot of community contributions in the comments. So somebody might see that recipe and say, oh, you know, actually we use syrup instead of honey, and people can try it out and offer, you know, our readers are offering new variations all the time.
Okay, so now some quick yay or nay answers to these questions. Okay. Do you enjoy cooking?
I will say my affiliation with the Nasher is more about building audience for it rather than I'm gonna have to nay on that one, unfortunately.
All right. Is there somebody in your family that cooks a dish that you never get tired of making?
Oh, that's a great question. Sure. Well, I'll tell you about my favorite dish on the Nasher, which I do make all the time. Yes. So we have a recipe for a vegetarian eggplant shawarma. And it's I live in a mostly vegetarian house, and I add a little bit of my own addition to it. So we add chickpeas on top. Sometimes we add some labneh, and it's really delicious.
Oh, okay. That sounds superb. So you can get the recipe off the Nasher website.
Yes.
Do you enjoy trying new recipes?
Sure. Yes.
Good. Okay. Do you listen to music when you cook?
I do not.
I love it. I put on my son bought me a thing. Is you just say, "Hey Google, play whatever." I suppose it's like your Alexa. And I love it. And do you have a favorite ingredient?
Interesting question. I think olive oil makes everything better. So the more olive oil you can put in anything, that is my favorite ingredient.
It does.
I also love cheese. So, you know, I'm a dairy specialist. So on the Nasher, we have amazing recipes for blintzes, for example.
Yes.
You know, I would cook those in a minute. Those are delicious.
Do you enjoy teaching others how to cook? I suppose you do enjoy it because you do the recipes. So you do enjoy
teaching. So at the Nasher, definitely, we have a ton of classes, online classes that teach people how to cook. So you can find everything from high holiday desserts to gluten-free challah baking to Passover cooking. So in addition to the website, we're also hosting online cooking classes all the time.
Yeah. In fact, I'm speaking a little later to Sari because she is going to tell me all about boot camp is coming up.
Yes.
Every Tuesday for 6 weeks. A wonderful program. And I've watched a few of your programs and they really are great.
People
can interact as well. I mean, you can ask questions as you're going along. Is there any food that you don't like eating? I mean, obviously, after telling me you've run a vegetarian home, I suppose it's meat.
Right. So I'm not using any of the Nasher brisket recipes, but I'm sure they're delicious.
You can use the vegetarian one, which I'm going to share later. Okay. And obviously, you must enjoy watching cooking shows. Keeps you up the rest of them. And would you say that presentation is as important as taste?
I would say when you're running a food site, yes. You know, we really emphasize beautiful food photography, and that's one of the things that we're going to be teaching in the Nasher Food Creators Bootcamp is food styling and photography. So it's really important for using good food photography to connect to readers, to connect to your audience, make them really excited about the dish. But when it comes down to actually serving it, no. The taste matters.
Absolutely. Well, it's been wonderful chatting to you, and thank you so much for joining us on the show, and I hope that everybody will go to the Nasher website. Just type in Nasher on Google and you'll find Nasher website, and where you can find all these wonderful stories and the history behind the food and the recipes. And as I say, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Sharon.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back to the Kosher Cravings show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife. And we've been chatting to Rebecca Phillips of the Nosher website, which is a very popular website, which gives you everything, the food, the history of the food. I mean, they have over 90 challah recipes. I mean, it's crazy. I can't wait to try the, what was it, the sage and onion. And they've got a I can't even remember, it's Black Forest or Red Velvet challah. I mean, there's all sorts of things. Magnificent chocolate babka recipes. But one of the things that really got me was the best vegan brisket recipe. I mean, I've never thought of brisket brisket recipe going vegan, but it made sense. I mean, it's savory pulled mushrooms and tofu, and apparently that makes the best perfect plant-based dish for Rosh Hashanah or for during the year. And what they use instead is, man, this recipe, they use mushrooms. But they don't just use just regular mushrooms. These are the long stem trumpet mushrooms, that like the large oyster mushrooms. Imagine they had that long stem and that little top. So you could actually cut them to look like pieces of brisket if you want. So you probably need about 750 grams of those long-stemmed oyster mushrooms, which they call trumpet. You'd need 100 grams of extra firm tofu, a half a cup of olive oil, 3 tablespoons of soy sauce or gluten-free tamari if you can get it, but I just use soy sauce, 2 tablespoons of smoked paprika, 1 tablespoon of garlic powder, and half a teaspoon of black pepper. Then, for the sauce, you'd need 1 onion peeled and quartered, 4 garlic cloves peeled, 2 cups of dry red wine. So, Kiddush wine wouldn't be the wine to go for, a nice dry red wine. 1 cup of ketchup, or tomato sauce as we call it here, 2 tablespoons of soy sauce, 2 tablespoons of Dijon mustard, the prepared mustard, 1 teaspoon of dried thyme, 1 teaspoon of mustard powder, and 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh parsley. Now, if you're in the car and you haven't managed to write this all down, don't worry, you can get it off my podcast or I'll be uploading the recipes for you to use. So you preheat your oven to about 180, and to make the so-called brisket in inverted commas, use 2 forks to shred the mushrooms into strips, as I said before, and put them in a large bowl. Then you drain the tofu, and using the largest hole of a grater, grate the tofu into the bowl with the mushrooms. You add the olive oil, the soy sauce, the smoked paprika, garlic powder, and black pepper, and you toss it around, and you leave it to marinate, I would say for about an hour or so. And then you transfer the mushrooms and the tofu mixture to a large rimmed sheet pan, spread it into an even layer, and then you roast that for about 30 minutes until it's really lovely and golden brown, and then you set it aside. Now, to make the sauce, remember it was the onions, the garlic, the red wine, the ketchup, soy sauce, a Dijon mustard, thyme, and mustard powder. You mix that all together. I mean, you can blend it in a food process if you want. And while the mushrooms are cooking, you make up the sauce. And you pour the sauce over the roasted mushrooms and the tofu mixture. And you stir it until evenly distributed. And the liquid will evaporate while it roasts, making it like a lovely thick sauce. So what you do is you return the sheet pan to the oven and you roast it for about 30 to 35 minutes, and you're stirring it, and about halfway through, and you carry on cooking it until the mushrooms are a lovely deep brown, and the tofu is also a lovely deep brown. What I did, I preferred to do, was I covered it for about 20 minutes, and then I took the cover off, and then I let it cook a little bit longer, and then I served it topped with chopped parsley. It went down quite nicely. I mean, not as nicely as it would in a vegan home, because, you know, our family are meat freaks. So then I had to offer something else. And, of course, I offered the Israeli-style schnitzel, which is, I mean, it just, it's a perfectly crispy, golden cutlet, seasoned simply and fried to juicy, flavorful perfection. And this is something that is loved all over the world. I mean, my son in London says, Ma, there is nothing to beat my Israeli chicken. So I don't know if this will, but here's the recipe. So for the marinade, you'd need 2 eggs, lightly beaten, 2 heaping tablespoons of a good quality mustard, 3 to 4 garlic cloves crushed, or just a teaspoon of crushed garlic, fresh ground pepper, and 1 kilo of boneless chicken breasts. Now, most of the Israeli chicken is very thinly pounded, so you get the thin schnitzel. I prefer thicker schnitzel, it's more juicy, but they say thin schnitzel, so let's try that. Then for frying, you would need 2 cups of unseasoned breadcrumbs, 2 tablespoons of sesame seeds, there's a secret, fresh ground pepper and sea salt, and canola oil. And then for serving, you'd need some lemons, 2 or 3 lemons quartered, and you can have a little bit of mustard or sweet chili sauce on the side. Then what you do is you combine your eggs, your mustard, your garlic, and your pepper in a bowl, add the chicken and mix it until it's lovely and well coated. Cover with plastic wrap. Very important that you cover with plastic wrap and refrigerate it for at least 2 hours. Some say preferably overnight. Then you remove the chicken from the refrigerator, let it sit at room temperature for 20 minutes, and meanwhile, in a shallow bowl, mix together the unseasoned breadcrumbs and the sesame seeds, seasoned with the freshly ground pepper and salt. And then you dredge your chicken breasts in the breadcrumbs, patting slightly just to help them stick. Pour into a medium frying pan. You can go about 3-4 centimeters high in the frying pan with your oil. And then you heat your oil on high until very hot. And then you add the chicken breasts, and adding just 2 or 3 at a time, because it's going to cook quickly, depending, of course, on the size. If you're going to have butterfly, like, you can get your butterfly chicken, which for me is more juicy, then you would have to cook them a little longer, and you actually have to turn the temperature of the oil down a little bit so that it cooks through. And don't overcrowd them in the pan, because the more you have in the pan, the more it's going to boil and not get nice and crispy. Then you reduce your heat to medium, and you fry until golden brown on each side, and until the chicken is completely cooked through, and then you do that with the remaining chicken. And remove the chicken from the pan with a slotted spoon. Place it on a serving plate lined with paper towel. And you can keep it in the oven. I wouldn't go higher than 100, a warming oven. And serve it with fresh lemon and mustard. So stay tuned for some more exciting recipes after the break.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Now we're going to share a lovely barley soup, mushroom, a hearty beef, barley and mushroom soup. I mean, this is real Ashkenazi comfort food. It's simple weeknight dinner, in fact. Serve it with some nice crispy bread or your sourdough bread. And on a cold winter's evening, which I believe we are going to get to have a cold spell on, I think, starting on Friday, maybe even Thursday night, where we're going to go to temperatures of zero. Okay, but let's see if we can trust the weather forecasters. Okay, so this you can actually cook in a crock pot and put it in and leave it for at least 8 hours on low. And by the time you come home from work, you'll have the most delicious beef and barley and mushroom soup. And we used to call it Krupnik soup in the old days. And you actually used to get Telma Krupnik soup, which was delicious. You just used to add it to the soup pot. But I don't know if you can get it anymore. I don't think so. Maybe in Israel you can. So you will need 1 cup of barley. Now, this soup is best started the night before. So if you want to have it for Thursday night supper or Friday night supper, start the night before with your barley and your beans, and you leave them to soak in cold water for about 2 to 3 hours, or better overnight, and you rinse and drain them. So what I did was I took a cup of barley and a cup of beans, butter beans, and I soak them overnight. Pour boiling water over them, cover them with glad wrap, and you leave it. And then what you do is, the next day or the day before, you can start chopping up all your beautiful vegetables which you're going to put in. And you will need for this, let me just get this all organized here, you will need about 2 tablespoons of canola oil, depending how big your pot is, just to coat the bottom with some oil. And you will need about 500 grams of beef stew, cubed or in chunks, but it's best if it's on the bone. You can also use marrow bones if you want to. Pat them dry and fry them in the oil. And to that, once they're lovely and brown and crispy, and you've got all that lovely brown at the bottom of the pan, remove the meat and fry 2 medium onions chopped. You can use about 400 grams of mushrooms chopped, 4 cloves of garlic chopped, 6 carrots, a lot of carrots in this recipe. For those who don't like carrots, well, put in some pumpkin if you want to. You chop the carrots and the pumpkin up, about 4 stalks of celery chopped up, and you fry that all until it's soft. Put the meat back into the pot. Add 2 bay leaves. Add some dill, fresh dill, which thank God we can get already checked. I would add about 20 grams of fresh dill. 2 tablespoons of tomato paste and 3 liters of beef broth. So you can use your beef cubes and dissolve them in about 3 cups of boiling water. You may have to add during the day while it's cooking, not really in your crock pot, but if you had to put it on the stove to cook, you may have to add a little bit more water because evaporation takes place. But in your crock pot, somehow it's protected. You may still have to add a little bit of liquid if you want to. But as I say, you can't get a better meal than a beautiful Krupnik beef, barley and mushroom soup. As we head into the winter months, shorba, as it's pronounced. Now, what is shorba? Okay, it's an ancient Mizrahi rice dish, which they say is impossible to mess up. So somewhere between a soup and a stew, shorba is the ultimate winter cure-all. So it's an easy rice dish, somewhere between a soup and a stew, that originated in ancient Iran, in Persia. And the literal translation is salty stew, which was popularized across the Middle East and North Africa during the Ottoman Empire. Now, what I love about this nosher site, if you were listening to the program before, I was talking about this wonderful website called Nosher, and I was saying how amazing the recipes are. They give you the history behind every recipe. And this recipe actually takes no time to make, and because the whole point of the dish is to cook the rice with a lot of liquid so that it becomes inflated and breaks down. It's hard to get it wrong. Okay, so depending on my mood, I either make it vegetarian or with shredded chicken, which is cooked for so long that it's actually falling apart when you serve it. So let me give you the recipe for that. Okay, as you cook it, so you serve it. You will need 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 onion finely chopped. I must admit, I use 2 onions for mine. Because we love onion, but you don't have to. You can use 1 onion, 1 teaspoon of salt. Okay, you will see whether it needs more salt or it doesn't. You know, it depends on how the rice absorbs and all sorts of the heat and the temperature of the pot and whatever. So, you'll also need 1 cup of ready, well washed rice. Very well washed so that it's clear, the water runs clear. 1 teaspoon of garam masala, 1/2 teaspoon of turmeric, and 1 cup of tomato puree, not paste, it's tomato puree, and 2 cups of water. You may need a little more, you'll see how it goes, and 2 chicken drumsticks. Okay, or you can use 1 breast. I use the breast because my family prefer white of the chicken. So you take a wide bottomed saucepan. You heat the olive oil on a medium flame. You add the onions to the oil along with 1/2 teaspoon of salt. And you mix it well. So that 1 teaspoon of salt that we said in the ingredient list, just use 1/2 of that for the moment and turn the heat down to a low flame and leave them to cook just for a little while, you know, until they go soft. And you stir it occasionally and then you add the rice and the spices and add everything together for the rest of the ingredients. That's the masala, the turmeric, the tomato puree, and you let them cook. Let it cook slowly, stirring all the time. And just make sure that the rice is completely coated. And if you're using the chicken, put the chicken in now. And you can cut it off the bone if you want to. I prefer to leave it on the bone because it just gets that lovely chicken flavor. And then you slowly add the water, little bit by bit, while stirring the rice. And you don't need to stir continuously in the same way as cooking a risotto, but stir every 5 minutes or so to ensure that it's not sticking to the bottom. And as you do this, the chicken will break up and cook in the mixture. Keep adding the water and eventually the rice will begin to break down and start resembling almost like a risotto texture. And the shrabash should be a nice color from the rice, should have a lovely color. If it looks too dry or stodgy, just add a little bit more water. And if you do, it may require more seasoning. Remember, if you add, you know, a little bit more water, I added actually a teaspoon or two of chicken stock, and that helped with that lovely salty flavor. So if you want to, you can keep it in the fridge for a day or two. And you reheat it in the microwave, or you can actually put it into the oven with the lid on after the mixture, after you've stirred in all the rice and it's got that beautiful color. You can stick it into the oven and it will absorb the liquid further, so you may have to add a little bit more liquid if you want it soupy. You can serve it as a side. There's nothing wrong with it. Serve it as a side of rice with your vegan brisket. Okay, after the break, we will come back to speak to Sari, who is actually going to tell us a little bit about the boot camp that the Becky from Nosha was talking about.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I was speaking a little earlier to Rebecca, and she was telling me that there is going to be a Jewish Food Creators Boot Camp. Okay, do you want to tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, of course. It is a 6-week boot camp created with the Nosher, and every Tuesday evening starting on June 9th, for 6 weeks, we're going to be speaking to a different professional in the Jewish food media landscape, and each of the sessions are going to focus on a different aspect of becoming a Jewish food content creator. So that will range from learning about recipe development to creating video online, photography, marketing, working on cookbook proposals. We've really done our best to identify leading professionals in this industry who can really speak to each of these specific topics with authority, because they're doing it. They're walking the walk.
Right. Some of the names that are mentioned, fantastic. I mean, you've got people. Tell us about some of the people that you've got on this boot camp.
Yeah, well, we're starting with Leah Koenig. She's the first presenter on June 9th. And she's going to be talking about recipe writing and editing. And she's such an amazing person. I'm so excited to start with her because she has published 7 Jewish cookbooks. So if anyone can speak to what it's like to really understand how to write a recipe and, you know, just be so successful in that field with what she's done, it's her. She's phenomenal. All of her cookbooks focus on Jewish food and Jewish food culture, but she has really been able to explore Jewish food in a way that's looking at it kind of through a diaspora lens, you know, not just focusing on Ashkenazi food or one focus or the other. Her more recent cookbook, Portico, focuses on the Jewish food and history of Rome, and it is such a gorgeous book, really one of my favorites, so I can't wait to speak with her. Then there's Micah Siva, who is also a cookbook author, but she's really well known online because she is such a beautiful photographer. She's created such a wonderful package for herself in terms of identifying a brand. You know, people really think of her for her plant-based Jewish food, which is such a unique lane she's created for herself. And she does her own photography. She does her own styling. So I'm really excited to hear about how, you know, she's been able to do everything herself. Yeah, so everyone has their own kind of thing that they're bringing to the table. And I think together through these 6 weeks, it's going to be such an incredible amount of knowledge and just wealth of experience.
Are you saying that it's basically for people who have been thinking about writing a recipe book, or is it for anybody to join?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's for anybody. I think it's for people, you know, who are definitely interested in potentially pursuing a career in Jewish food content, Jewish food media. I think it's for people who are pursuing this career and kind of want to take their, what they've started, what they've built upon, and take it to the next level. Because I do think, you know, it is a boot camp. There's 6 weeks, but each individual session will offer so much on its own as well. So if you're someone who, you know, has been doing some writing or some photography online, but really wants to have a better understanding of how to do video content, you might be really excited to hear from Jeremy Jacobitz, because he has a huge following online and he is one of the leading influencers right now. So, you know, you might be showing up with him in mind specifically, or you might be thinking, oh, I really do want to start writing a cookbook proposal. How do I do that? I want to hear from Gabrielle Gershenson. So it could be someone who's on, you know, many different stages in their career, just thinking about it. You know, they've pursued one thing, but they want to learn more, hone their skills on another topic. So I think there's a lot of different reasons to sign up and join.
Right. Even you just want to have a little blog, join.
Or just curious, or just excited to have, you know, this unique time with these people, which is so special. You know, we're all so busy in our lives, and there's not a lot of opportunities to really get, like, to hear from someone like this in such an intimate way. I mean, yes, it's online, but there will be the opportunity to ask questions, get answered, and really feel like you're part of this small group that's getting this unique opportunity to really interact with these folks.
So how do we register for this? I know it falls under the Jewish Learning umbrella, but how would we register?
Well, it's just online. You just go to the Nosher, which is, you know, the website, of course, and the links, or you can follow Instagram. We'll have the links as well. I've been posting about it on my own Instagram page. I think all the presenters have as well. So you can just search for, you know, the Nosher Jewish Food Content Creator Bootcamp. And I'm sure it would lead you there. You wouldn't have to look too hard.
Right. And
I can look up the individual link for you if you want.
No, don't worry, I'll find it. Okay, so another great offer is that we can get less 20% as well, the South Africans. We just have to enter Chai FM and we get less 20 on that. So that's exciting.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd love for you all to join us. We're really excited to be reaching a global community through this show. So thank you so much for the opportunity, Sharon.
Oh, pleasure. Well, wonderful chatting to you. And I'm going to be sharing some of those amazing recipes online. It's been 10 years. You're celebrating your 10th anniversary. And I'll be sharing some of the favorite ones from 2025, as well as the 10-year the best recipes over 10 years.
Well, I'll be hosting each of the sessions, so I look forward to
seeing everybody
online soon.
Thank you for joining us on this afternoon's show of Kosher Cravings. And don't forget to tune in and carry on listening to all the wonderful shows that we have lined up for you on 101.9 Chai FM. Thank you, Vuzi, for helping me and all those involved. See you soon.